have councilpersons Kilpatrick, Shelton, Cartier, Diller, and Councilman Smiley, co-chair of the Finance Committee. As we can see and as duly noted, we do not have a quorum, therefore notes will be taken. Instead of minutes, we will move forward with the other. And since we don't have a quorum, we can't vote. Therefore, I'm going to take it upon myself to go out of order and have the Garsky presentation first, as we have some guests, so they can go on about their day. So, you would.
Thank you.
Take down the table. I would just ask that before you speak each time, identify yourself so we have it on the record.
Sure.
You can take a seat at the end if you need to pull up another chair.
Well, I'm John Jornlin. I've been at Wilmington Trust for 24 years. I'm the relationship manager for what is an investment agency account for the former Garston Trust funds. Sean McGill is our portfolio manager. He's been on the account for many years, and we have a brief overview. We have some kind of market materials for you, but I really want to, the agenda is your agenda, so you're welcome to ask us questions, or we could dive right into a review.
Dive right in a moment. Chair's going to recognize the presence of Councilman Bell, Councilman Woods, and Councilman Hollins. What's your pleasure with the minutes?
So moved.
The motion approved. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. With that, we're hearing the presentation on the Garston Trust, and we will leave it to you to go forward with yours.
Okay.
I'd ask, unless it's absolutely necessary, so as to not lose a point of fact, let's hold our questions till the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. For those of you who arrived late, I'm John Jornlin, Wilmington Trust Company, relationship manager for the investment agency account of the former Garston Trust Fund. Sean McGill is our portfolio manager, and he will dive right into a brief overview, and I'd be glad to answer your questions at the end or as we go along. Thank you.
Good afternoon. So we wanted, this is Sean McGill, the portfolio manager for the account. We wanted to keep this very focused and very high level.
Okay.
But of course, we'll take
questions. Catherine Street has joined us.
If you look in the left-hand side of the folders.
Could you pass one of those behind you to Councilman Street, please? Thank you very much.
You'll find that you have two packets. One of these is dated December 31st, 2015, in the upper right-hand corner. And I wanted to go over not only the results for 2015, but I also wanted to go over that quarter that you'll see the numbers for here, and that's the fourth quarter of 2015. So I want to start with just an overview of the account and talk a little bit about the strategy that we're using. You can see this pie chart on the right-hand side. It gives you an indication of how the account is invested. It's a little bit more than, it's somewhere between 50 to 60% in stocks, 40% in a combination of bonds and cash, and what we call inflation hedges. If you look at the returns in that middle block, about halfway down the page on the left-hand side, I want to review the returns with you. For that last 3 months of the year, the return was 3.4%. That's versus a benchmark return of 2.6%. The last 6 months of 2015 weren't as good. The markets were down. But you can see the long-term return, if you go back to August of 2001 for this account, is approximately 5.3% at the end of last year. If you look at the numbers on the the left-hand side, that last 3 months, I want to draw your attention to that for a specific reason. In that quarter, we had a distribution out of the account of $3 million. That $3 million came back into the account in the same quarter. So I understand that there's some concern potentially about the returns, you know, whether or not that was a disruption to the account. And this is, sort of gives you a bottom line on that. And so I'll just review this with you. If you look at the 3 months numbers, you can see the beginning market value was approximately $3.7 million. We had distributions of about $150,000 out of the account, and we had investment returns of $135,000. there wasn't a disruption in the account if you look at how things turned out. If you look at that return of 3.4%, the benchmark return underneath the benchmark return of 2.6%, that's what we'd be expected to get. We actually did better than the market during that period. That contributions and withdrawal numbers, the reason you're not seeing the $3 million in there is because the $3 million coming back in cancel that out.
So you don't show it coming out and then going back?
Right.
I thought I told you to wait till afterwards. You did. Okay. I'll keep him under control now.
So that's just a broad overview of what the returns were. There's a little bit more detail on the composition of the account if you go to page 2. You can see some of the instruments that we're using. There's a little bit more of a detailed breakdown. With this, the strategy that we're using here, our long-term expected return is 5.4%. And this is a very diversified portfolio. It's designed to provide cash flows, but also to preserve the purchasing power of the account. So that was all I wanted to talk about with regard to that quarter. The next packet that you have has a date in the upper right-hand corner of March 31st, 2016. So what you'll see is that, so this is for the first quarter of the year. Our returns are in that three-month column. You can see total portfolio net of fees return was about 0.5% at the end of this period. Our long-term return, which is on the in the third column in, is still right around 5.3%. So this wasn't as good a quarter for us. I think that you'll see that we'll have better returns going forward. But that long-term track record is still intact. I don't think there's anything wrong with the process here. What you'll also find after this page is a breakdown as to where the account was at the end of the first quarter. And it's not materially different from the end of the year.
But the record show, Council President Bullock has joined us.
He's going to need one of those. Oh.
Can we get one more packet?
So I did have a couple of key things that I just wanted to review. The dates that those securities, the transfer went out of the account, and I'm talking about the first quarter again,
right.
On November 25th, and it came back into the account on December 22nd, and we started purchasing securities immediately. So. But I think if you look at those first quarter number or those fourth quarter numbers for 2015, you can see that there wasn't really a major disruption. So there is a piece in here on Brexit. it's mostly for your reading pleasure. We are monitoring things. We're not terribly concerned about the impact on the United States at this point, but we're watching because. You know, sometimes these things take on an energy of their own. The best way that I can sum up where the account is now is just to refer back to the strategy that it's at. And the way we construct portfolios, the way this portfolio is constructed is very diversified with more of a view to safety than reaching for return. This is the kind of portfolio you want to be in. You want conservative returns.
If I may?
Yes.
So it's your position as the managers of these of this account that the $3 million being removed for just shy of a month did not adversely affect the earnings of this because it still exceeded your benchmark.
Yes.
Am I right to bring it into my little layman's terms?
Yes.
Okay. And while Mr. Koop is in the room, I will go on a record here and you tell me if I'm wrong, just so in the future we're all of one mind, that when the county receives the revenue from the investment where the $3 million went, right, when we receive our payment, which is outside of Wilmington Trust.
Right.
One-twelfth of that will be transferred to this account to make up for it not being there. Mr. Coop.
Oh, yes, by Coop Finance. Yes, Councilman, that is correct. Sean, I just want to speak for Sean here. But Sean really wasn't aware of all that, you know, that we'd already started.
Probably nobody else in the room was, but three or four of us, and that's why I'm putting it out here now on the record, because I could get hit by a train tonight.
That for those 30 days while it was invested in the other investment, that share of those earnings would come back into this account.
Because the intent is to make sure that this fund is whole for all earnings that it could have had.
Right.
Okay. Councilman Sheldon and Councilman Cartier.
You're going to have to bear with me here. So you had to sell your stocks to get the $3 million. You had to sell in these different accounts.
Correct.
And you have two different ones. I guess I want to start right. You have one December 31st, 2015.
Yep.
But that's after you reinvested all the money back into it, correct? There's no way we could get what you had or what you sold on November 22nd. In other words, that was the ending balance. You had $3 million that you had to get out. There was a number there.
Yeah.
Whatever that number is, I don't know. But and then you had to put $3 million back.
Right.
So you had a lapse of 1 month, approximately, give or take, mm-hmm. right? That was the question I was getting at. It was how much did we lose, I guess, was one of them, was one of the questions. And then the other one is you're in a 60-40?
Yeah, possibly.
You know, that's your bench, that's what your guideline is.
Yeah.
And do you go under a... Like, does it have to be triple B or double B? What is the lowest you can stock quality, yes.
Yeah. The best way I can answer that is to say that we abide by the prudent investor rule. And the prudent investor rule says that you can own securities that are not terribly high quality as long as it's within the context of a portfolio. So whereas in the past it might have been that if you didn't own 100% high quality bonds, 100% high quality stocks, railroads, governments, things like that, and you went and bought an emerging market fund, for example,
right,
you would be considered negligent or liable in some way because you were doing something incredibly speculative. The prudent investor rule says that you can own those things in a reasonable proportion, as long as it's in a context of a portfolio. So where somebody under the old regime might look at this and say, hey, you know, you've got some emerging market stocks here, that's
right.
a problem. You've got some high yield bonds here, that's a problem. Somebody in today's context, if they didn't see those things, they might wonder what was going on and if there was a restriction.
Okay, I didn't know what the percent you changed from one and sold and started anew. If there was any different guidelines, because yeah, you do have emerging markets, you have international, you have, you know, you're in the hedge funds, so only 6%.
Yeah, let me address that, because I think that my industry is very bad with terminology,
okay.
and so we'll have these words like growth and income, and they can mean three different things all at the same time, and we're not using hedge funds, we are using inflation hedges. And that's really confusing, and I understand that. These are vehicles that are intended to protect against inflation. So it includes some exposure to real estate. It includes exposure to treasury inflation-protected securities issued by the U.S. government. So I apologize for our label being confusing, because it looks like we have hedge funds in here, but we don't.
Right. But basically, you're invested in mutual funds.
Yes.
They're not individual stocks. You're just going out to mutual funds, so.
That's correct.
You have to, but you're based, you know, you're hoping that, well, I know you did your research on the mutual fund, but
sure.
I'm just saying you're hoping on their investment guidelines.
In a lot of cases, we're using index funds, so we know what's in there. Mm-hmm. So I understand what you're getting at. If you use an actively managed fund, there is a chance that somebody that's calling themselves a value investor decides to change their mind and buy a bunch of tech stocks that mm-hmm. you never wanted in your portfolio.
That's what I am getting at.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and we don't really have that concern with these vehicles.
Okay.
That's not to say that we would never use actively managed funds, but that's something that we would want to protect against too. I would say that the way the portfolio is constructed right now, it's very transparent. You know what you own. You don't have to worry that some of these things are being mislabeled in a misleading way, and that a manager's going off the reservation, so to speak.
Okay, thanks.
Councilman Cartier.
Thank you. I'm looking at the December 31st, 2015 statement. So at the point that the loan was made to DBOT, you had approximately $3.7 million in the account, correct?
Well, sort of. This 3 months goes back to October 1st.
Okay.
Yeah, so prior to.
The question I'm asking is, I was understanding the loan to DBOT was a $3 million sum. Now, did you transfer the entire balance of the account, which is nearly $3.6 million, $3.7
million? No. We transferred $3 million.
Just $3
million. Correct.
So there was a remainder there?
Yes.
Correct. And then you $3 million was moved in to fill that?
Yes. $3 million came back into the account, approximately 30
years. Okay, was not the entire account being removed.
Right.
That's correct.
$3 million.
That's
all right.
Yep.
Let me go to this issue. You're saying there's no impact. I don't know if this is true or not. Yeah. Since the account is held by the county, are there any tax implications that arise from liquidating long or short-term positions that accrue because of the government account? We are tax exempt. Is that the story?
That's correct. There are no tax implications.
And that's what comes with it.
Thank you. Councilman Street.
Y'all arguing and making this presentation about the $3 million, and now it's politics at its worst for us, I'm concerned. And now the representation is no money was lost, no money was wasted. Well, what about the $10,000 that y'all spent on outside counsel? We ain't getting that back. You want to indict the exec office, but we don't want to talk about the $10,000 that we wasted hiring outside counsel. We ain't getting that back, are we?
Well, Councilman Street, I'd just like to clarify. I asked for this presentation, and the purpose of my asking was to clear the air that the funds had been returned and that the Garson Trust had actually not been harmed. That be it. That was my purpose in asking for this, and thereby put this to rest, which is why I also put on the table what had already been agreed as part of the Strategic Development Fund discussions, that 1/12 of the outside investment fund gains would go back to the Garston Trust, which would more than cover. So I'm just saying that was the reason for this. This wasn't meant as an attack meeting. This was meant to clear what the results were and that some pictures that were painted out there were not actually what the results of the fund transactions were. That's it.
Understood.
Okay, so.
And I understand you weren't attacking, but I am.
Okay.
I'm attacking us. Okay, because all this hullabaloo, all the front page this, all the front page that, the only money that was lost was the money that y'all spent. Because I voted no. The $10,000 outside counsel. So, as folks want to sit around and have a conversation outside and play politics at its worst, why are you running your mouth? Run your mouth about the $10,000 that y'all gave away.
Okay. Any other questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Thank you very much. I appreciate you coming. I appreciate the straightforwardness. I'm sure you didn't know what you were coming into. Again, I appreciate it. And above all, I think the county as a whole appreciates the due diligence that your organization has done and will continue to do with the Garston Trust. Thank you very much.
It's an honor to have the county business. And just one point of clarification. It is actually, Wilmington Trust is hired under an investment agency agreement. It is no longer a trust document. It was funded by the Garston Trust many, many moons ago, but our sole responsibility is investment manager only. And so that's quite different than the days it was under the trust. So. But we appreciate your time and appreciate you having us and for the business, of course.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, now we have a quorum present. We're going to move forward with the agenda. me. First on the agenda, resolutions, R16-106, amend the fiscal year 2016 capital program, increase appropriations and state authorization of $275,000 to the Just a Walking Path project. Councilman Weiner couldn't be here for this. He will be here for council. He's asked me to handle this. So just to clarify where we are with this is this resolution, as it says, if adopted, it amends the 2016 capital program. It is a partner to what we already approved at the last meeting, which was ordinance 16-047, which amended the 2016 capital budget. So we already approved the amending the capital budget, and this amends the program for the work and the funds to go to the Just a Walking Path project. Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Okay. Hearing none. Next we have R16-107, amend the fiscal year 2016 capital program, increase appropriations and state authorizations of $200,000 to the Glasgow Regional Park project. That's Councilman Tackett. Did he speak with anyone? No. Well, in essence, this is exactly what Councilman Weiner says. We did the ordinance that goes with this at the last budget meeting to amend the budget, and now this moves money to the project. So is there any questions, members of council? Questions from the public? Hearing none. R16-109, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for IMS Technology Services Incorporated for projectors for the final phase of the video wall project in the James W. Bell Fusion Center for the Department of Public Safety in the amount of $91,527.06. It's under the sponsorship of Councilman Bell and Councilman Street. I don't know if Councilman Bell is conflicted out or not because of the name of the room, but I'll leave it to you two gentlemen to decide.
No problem. Actually, it's the J. William Bell Fusion Center. But now, this I've talked with Chief Miller, and this is actually to complete the video display wall. And for those of you who have not had an opportunity to be out there, they are using the room for a lot of training, a lot of meetings, and the video wall itself. We were in there on Saturday morning, Councilman Smiley and myself, and they're actually using it as part of training the 911 center personnel and everything. So multitask, multifunctional type room, and can be used for a multitude of operational needs and command needs and everything. So.
Okay. Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Hearing none. R16-110, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for the Delaware Health and Social Services for animal control services as mandated by the state for the Department of Public Safety in the amount of $1,035,000. This is under my sponsorship. In short, this is part of our partnership with the state where they took the jobs and the authority to direct, and we took the funding. That's it. Any questions from any members of council? Anything from Councilman Kilpatrick?
This is equal to what we were paying last year. We're not into, we have done no negotiations for inflation or any of that. Okay.
No. And while finance is here, I want to say thank you for the heading. I appreciate the clarity that's now been put in there. Okay. 16-111, authorizing the execution of one purchase order for contract for the Middletown Square Offices, LLC, for FY17 lease agreement for the Appaquinic Library in the amount of $190,851, and this is the annual lease agreement. Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on. R16-112, authorizing the execution of two purchase order contracts for Cogsdale Corporation for the renewal of annual computer software maintenance for the Office of Technology in the amount of $204,546.33. This is under my sponsorship. And in short, this is for the maintenance of the computer software. This is the annual contract for the professional services. And in short, this is the only way to receive equipment support, corrections, and enhancements to the software, and it's the only way to get authorized to get help in the resolution of operational problems involving the software. I should have practiced that word. I don't think it really exists myself. Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Okay. R16-113. Authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for the Corporate Callaway Memorial Library for funding library operations for the Department of Community Services in the amount of $194,264.50. This is under my sponsorship. However, before we move forward, this is a little different. I'm going to ask for an explanation, but let me clarify for council. Resolution 16-113 for Corbett Callaway. Well, first, let me read this to you. PO to be increased to $195,721 when funds are available. This is part of your exhibit that's attached to it. So what I want to ask for clarification on, and I'm going to ask it just once, because it will be applicable to 16-113 for $1,456.50, 16-114 for $1,456.50, 16-117 for $1,456.50, and 16-118 for the Wilmington Institute for $20,266.50. Can we get an explanation? I'm going to go out on a limb and say this was probably the same for all four libraries as to why we have resolutions before us that apparently cannot be completely funded at this time.
Sophia Hansen, Department of Community Services. We're projecting a small increase to the contract libraries in the next fiscal year.
Would that be in personnel costs?
It's just a general contract we give them, yes, but it'll cover increase in
electric utilities.
All of their costs, right? They have not. It's been a constant issue. They've all the contract libraries have raised it over and over again because they had their contract amount, but their employees get cost of living. Their health benefits have increased drastically. Collection costs, and they're doing a lot more in enrichment for children and youth and seniors. So this is just, it's very minor. It's not what we wanted to give them. It would have been nice to have a much larger increase, but it's what we thought was fair and reasonable.
So for my own understanding, as far as you're concerned, is this what will be the intended format going forward when we do these annual? Because I know they're quarterly payments, but is this what we're going to be looking for when we go in the future? We're going to project out what an increase may be.
Yes, sir.
Okay, just so we know going forward, that way we don't have to go through it all the time. Right. So any questions on that from anyone? Okay. So again, I will just real quickly, resolution number 16-113, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for the Corbett Callaway Memorial Library for funding library operations for the Department of Community Services in the amount of $194,264.50. Again, this is the annual payment. Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Okay. Resolution number 16-114, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for the Delaware City Public Library for funding library operations for the Department of Community Services in the amount of $193,539.50. That is as per the title, annual contract. Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Hearing none, we will go to resolution number 16-115, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for the State of Delaware Division of Communications for yearly maintenance contract for volunteer fire service, high band paging system for the Department of Public Safety in the amount of $61,316.78. And again, this is the yearly maintenance contract for the equipment housing the state 800 megahertz towers that support the volunteer fire service paging system. And this is an annual as well. Anything from any members of council? Anything from the public? Hearing none. We'll go to resolution number 16-116, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for the town of Ellesmere for FY17 lease agreement for the town of Ellesmere Library in an amount of $55,738. Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Hearing none. Resolution number 16-117, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for Newcastle Public Library for funding library operations for the Department of Community Services in the amount of $374,645.50. Any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Hearing none. Resolution number 16-118, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for the Wilmington Institute Library for funding library operations for the Department of Community Services in the amount of $1,620,887.50. Any questions from any members of council? Anything for the public? Hearing none, we'll move forward. Resolution number 16-119, approving the Special Services Department's wastewater expansion feasibility study and plan for providing sanitary sewer service to the heavy industrial zoned properties within and surrounding Delaware City Refinery. Councilman Sheldon?
Yes, it just approves the plan, the blueprint. The money was approved, you know, in the budget. This gives the go-ahead to be able to go ahead and do it and do the design.
Any questions from any members of the council? Any? Councilman Cartier.
The area, just to refresh my memory, the area we're speaking of on the heavy
on Route 9, right?
On Route 9. Right. So they have never had sanitary sewer service there. Is that correct?
Right. As far as I know, they have their own. But if somebody can do that, the refinery I know does.
Yeah.
They do the fixing up and cleaning.
So there's
their own city, you know. They have their own electric through the acid plant and so forth, and all the coke dust and so forth that we use. Same way with the sewer.
So this will run the interceptor down the Route 9 corridor, mm-hmm. tie it into the system.
And it's getting ready for Delaware City, too. Okay. I'm sure they're going to.
And then the treatment and discharge will go through Delaware City?
That I would turn back. I think it goes to Wilmington.
Tracy.
Oh, there she is. Okay, let's see.
Yes, it will go to Delaware City treatment plant. We've been doing some phased upgrades to that plant that will have the capacity to handle
this. Okay, very good.
Also, that's one of the reasons they want sanitation used to operate in that area. They didn't have to haul the houses that far. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In addition to that, I think that, you know, we've mentioned it several times, but it kind of falls under Councilwoman Kilpatrick as far as the expansion, having properties that are shovel-ready for economic development and everything. So there's a lot of industrial and business-type areas down there, and by having this studied and expanded in the future, we'll be able to, you know, look towards economic development, hopefully increasing jobs.
Okay. Anything further from any members of council? From the public? Hearing none. Ordinance 16-059, amend the FY2016 approved operating budget transfer $950,000 from the Department of Administration salaries and wages budget line item to Department of Public Safety salaries and wages budget line item to cover the cost of public safety employee severances paid out in FY2016. As we've discussed several times before, one of the benefits of the way the police department and others, well, let's say public safety works, is when we graduate a class, we get an influx of officers. The adverse of that is they all age out at the same time with the service. But just to place it on the record, the funding will be to public safety. Office of Law will be taking $215,000 from the Office of Law, $275,000 from the Office of Finance, $430,000 from the Administrative Services, and $30,000 from the Office of Human Resources. These are funds that were left over, assuming, in their FY2016 budget. So, any questions from any members of council? Anything from the public? Hearing none, we go to Ordinance 16-060, appropriate $280,000 from the Garston Trust portfolio to the Garston Trust Fund in order to fund park maintenance for fiscal year 2017 to be administered by the Department of Special Services. Councilman Shelton.
It's for title. It's the same thing we've been doing every year. This is taking the money, the interest, hopefully, out of the one account to pay for Newcastle County's park maintenance.
And we'll just clear up a little bit and say this doesn't cover all of it.
No,
but
of course not.
But it's definitely a big help. Okay, substitute one, ordinance number 16-063, amend the FY 2016 approved operating budget for the state of Delaware funding Department of Public Safety for Newcastle County Police Employees Retirement System. And again, this is an annual receipt of funds from the state of Delaware, and this appropriates $1,642,737 revenue from the state. Any questions? Members of council, anything from the public? Okay, none. We have no grant requests. Anything for the expense of revenue roundtable? Nothing there. Okay, quickly, I have something. I was going to speak at the beginning, but I was tied up in another meeting. So I just, and I'm sure this is inappropriate, but I'll hurry up and spit it out before somebody can tell me that it is. I just want to address quickly that I'm sure no one was more surprised as I, or I don't think anyone was more surprised than I was at the end of the last Land Use Committee meeting when one of my constituents stood up and spoke on issues that I was not aware of, had not been made aware of, or given an opportunity to address. Those of you that were not here at Land Use, feel free to listen to the recording. But for those that were, I just want to let you know that although I did not get involved in the accusations of Land Use personnel, because I don't think that's my place, I did go and investigate the code complaint. And suffice it to say, most of the times, things are not as presented. And they were not in this situation either. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. And for those that came here to spend the afternoon,